And you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We'll look at these verses which we just read a few moments ago. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And of course this passage reminds us of the need of prayer, doesn't it? As we consider that we need encouragements to pray. This last hymn has a number of different areas that it mentioned to us we might be praying about. Heavy-hearted, I suppose some of us have been there where we have been of heavy heart for some reason or another. Tears flowing down your cheeks unbidden, as if in great sorrow, perhaps the loss of a loved one or some calamity which has taken place. Gathering clouds of sorrow, kind of indicating that there's something ahead that's ominous. And we have some concerns about those things which may be coming. The thought of dying, great illness, and of the sense that there is perhaps we will be meeting the Lord sometime soon because of physical problems. Grieving, have you had sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Well, there's certain things to grieve over. We grieve over the sin. We grieve over the burden of our own sins that other people do not know. And the need to take those to the Lord. We're anxious about certain things. Being anxious about tomorrow, the hymn says. And, of course, the coming of Christ's kingdom. We pray much concerning these kinds of things. And so as we come to this passage, though it is a familiar one, we know that it has a lot of practical implications for us. Though the text is simple in its outline, yet it is profound in what it causes us to consider. And so I'd like to have you think about that as we go through these few verses. The passage again in Matthew chapter 7, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." The first verse, of course, kind of lays out the principle of which Jesus is recommending to his disciples and to those who would hear him. That the Heavenly Father is one who does care for his children. And that the encouragements to pray, of which the Lord advises, are these that we ought to ask, that we ought to seek, and we ought to knock, as it were, that the Lord may open unto us such and such of things that should meet our need. In asking, there is a certain earnestness. In seeking, there is a certain diligence. And in knocking, there is a certain either persistence or perseverance recommended in these things. And so we earnestly and diligently and persistently ought to be praying for the needs of which God lays upon our hearts, because by necessity we do have a great many of those needs. First of all, let us consider earnestly. Earnestly ask of the Lord, for he delights to hear your request. I happen to think of the passage in the book of Revelation where Jesus is supposedly standing, at least the metaphor is, the Lord is standing and knocking upon the door of the church of Jesus Christ. Now one would think that he is already there within his church. He is supposed to be there. The passage reads like this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And of course it goes on to say, "If any man will come in unto, come in. If any man will enter in, he will sup with him, he will have fellowship with him." It is the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, and it's in the passage concerning the church at Laodicea. And so we understand that God, in many respects, is waiting for us to do something. And so in Revelation, again, in chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man may hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Of course, he's not literally standing and knocking. It is a metaphor to say that the Lord would have us to come into a relationship, such a relationship with him, that we might have that intimacy with Christ, of fellowship and of friendship, and by the very nature of our being with Jesus, we shall be in such close communion with him that we will not have need of anything, because we are with Christ. What more could we ask than to be with Christ? And so we are reminded that there is a relationship that we have to the Lord Jesus. And so when we earnestly ask of the Lord, we know that the Lord truly does delight to answer our prayers. Jesus is at the door of the church of God, of the people of God. And he bids entrance that we may come in and fellowship with him. Now, I know this passage has been used for a lot of different things, such as even invitation to come to Christ, and so on. And I suppose the applications are sufficient to say that Jesus can meet every single need. And certainly the first and primary need is that we come to know him as Lord and Savior. The other needs of which we have in Christ are many, as we have already said, that prayer is want to be made and a relationship with Jesus, in that we ask and we seek and we knock. God wants us to communicate with him. We are told to ask of the Lord, to seek after the Lord, that our heart's need will be met, and to knock upon the door in persistent faith that we may receive of the Lord. And so we are encouraged to pursue this avenue. As we read again the first verse, it says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Just the very last phrase there indicates to us that this earnest seeking after, this asking and seeking and knocking is requisite to the Lord opening up unto us such and such as we need. Now, each of us have different needs. The Lord wants to meet the needs that we have. And what particular burdens you may carry, I do not know. But, of course, you do know what they are. And they are such needs as brings you to the feet of Jesus, where you may communicate with the Lord and tell him of your earnest desire. We also gain a sense, of course, in this earnestness to pray, this recommendation of the Lord or encouragement to pray, is that as we enter into this relationship of prayer, God wants us to come to him with such a diligence of prayer that it is not merely a casual request. That is, why should we come before the Lord and implore him to answer every little twinge which we have? every little ailment which we are troubled with. Is not the Lord capable of giving you the strength to carry on in your life among the common things of your burden? We find that Paul talks about the strength that he has in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And so in one sense, we're not so frivolous as to bring every little thing to the Lord, but at the same time, we realize there is nothing too small or too big. Certainly God can answer the smallest of requests if he so desires to do it. And certainly the greatest of the requests that we might bring are not too large for him. But yet at the same time, if there is to be an earnestness in prayer, then there ought to be diligence in prayer. Usually one follows the other. That is, if there is something that is really upon our hearts that we would have the Lord to answer, we earnestly would have him to answer, then we should come in diligence. We shouldn't just say, well, once, I'll pray once about this thing and let it go. Well, then it couldn't have been all that important, could it? But, and if there is some earnestness of prayer, what do? But we come diligently. We come more than once. We come with a great compassion or passion for that thing. So we are encouraged to pray or pursue the avenue of earnest, diligent, persistent faith, for the Lord promises that he will open unto you. He will open unto you. That's what it says in the very last phrase of verse 7. He will open unto you. But we do come with some diligence, and therefore that leads us to the second aspect here of the message. Diligently seek after the Lord, for he wants to answer. We not only earnestly seek after the Lord, for he wants to answer, but we diligently seek. We ask and we seek. We ask and we seek. And so in this particular aspect or point here, we look at verse 8, and in some ways it repeats what it says in verse 7, but with much more emphasis, saying, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." So it follows through with much more completeness upon this thing of asking and seeking and knocking, or earnestly and diligently persisting in prayer. In that we find that if we will ask in this manner, of which we might be intelligently employed in prayer, we shall receive. If we seek in this manner, in that which we might be intelligently employed in prayer, we shall find. And if we knock in this manner, of which we might be intelligently employed in prayer, we will find that God will open it unto us. But as I said earlier, we don't bring every frivolity to the Lord, for in that we might just ask only once. And it may be that the first time you pray something, the Lord might give it to you. But that is not generally what the Lord does. But rather, he wants us to come and to ask and to seek and to knock. We must work at the relationship that we have with the Lord. We must work at it and we must believe it. If we do not believe that the very thing that we pray for we are going to receive, then why should he give it? Should he give to us what we do not believe he will answer? Should we come to him in prayer with some area of need and then just say, well, it doesn't matter after all, I won't bother to pray anymore on this? Should we come to him and pray and then just casually discard the subject and not consider it any further? what can we expect if we treat one who is our Heavenly Father and true Savior and Lord with such kind of contempt, you see? No, diligently we must seek. Diligently seek after the Lord, for He wants to answer. I would suggest to you we are more prone not to bring our needs to the Lord because we feel in many cases like we can handle it. You know, we can do this somehow. We can get through. After all, we see people around us all the time plodding along, getting through, making their way in life. Not that they don't have problems. Even the unsaved will somehow they continue. Somehow they get needs met. Somehow somebody comes to their rescue, or they are able to rescue themselves in some way, and they don't even know the Lord. Why is it that the Lord asks of us that we make so much of this matter of praying when the world seems to get along fine? Well, they don't have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that we have by faith. And remember, this relationship that we have is one that God wants us to be involved with, that we might cultivate it, that we might encourage this relationship, that we might see God's provision in it, and that we might realize that though the world seems to get along without God, His own people should not get along without Him. His own people should make every effort to make sure that they have the right relationship with Him. After all, they are His privileged people in that we know Him as Lord. So let us make every effort to know Him. Let us make every reason to come to Him and not to treat Him otherwise. In John 14:13, it says, "And whatsoever ye ask, shall ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now here we have a reason. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:13. That is the reason that He gives there in that particular verse. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. God the Father wants the Son to be glorified. God the Son wants the Father to be glorified. And as we come to the Lord in prayer, as we bring to Him our concerns, our true earnest and diligent concerns, we find that the Lord delights to answer those things, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, as He is our advocate with the Father, as He is our mediator between God and man, as we come to the Father, we find that that process glorifies the Father in the Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 15:7, "If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now, in this particular verse, we are told that an abiding presence must be realized in our relationship with Christ. There must be this abiding presence. And, of course, as I have said, we just can't casually enter into that relationship, for that is not abiding in Him and resting in Him. Trusting in Him, if you will. But to abide in Him is to truly be with Jesus in our faith and in our lives. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you. And so we have this interchangeableness of relationship. We abide in Jesus. His words abide in us. And because of this, when we come to the Lord in prayer, there is a sense of earnestness of our prayers. There is a sense of diligence of our prayers because this relationship that we have to Christ is one which is reciprocal. It is reciprocal. We have a relationship to Christ. We have His words have a relationship to us. We listen to the Master. And it says, ye shall ask what ye will. When those two elements of our relationship are truly employed at their best, He says, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We may also say this, that we will not ask amiss. We will not ask wrongly. If this relationship, those two elements of the relationship are truly at work, if we are abiding in Christ, and if His words are abiding in us, then that is a win-win situation for us. That is, we're just right where we ought to be. And we will ask what it is that we desire of the Lord, and He'll be more than willing to give it. And by the way, you will not ask of Him anything that you shouldn't ask of Him. Why? Because the presence of Christ is abiding there. How can you violate the will of God when you are in that closer relationship with Him? And the Word of God is in you. And because of that, how can you violate the will of God when you are resting in the very Word of God, you see? And so that is a win-win situation for us. That is the ideal, that if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, He says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Another passage that might give us some insight on this is James chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. The immaterial aspect of prayer is this. We want the wisdom of God. We want the knowledge of God. We want God's answer to the problem. Remember, it's not that we can't go out and do things on our own. We do it all the time. You know, we can manufacture our own answers, but they are not always the ones that God wants in our lives. And so manufacturing the answer may be only a substitute for what God really wants to accomplish in us. For the Christian, for the believer, for the one who is trusting in Christ, it is more important that we have a true sense of abiding in the Lord and His Word abiding in us, that we might ultimately receive the true wisdom of God on any given subject. Not that we can't do something on our own, because, as you know, you've done that a number of times. And you probably have even said to yourself, oh, I did okay. I worked this out without any problem. And maybe you did. But perhaps you missed the best because you did not take it to the Lord. Perhaps you missed the best because it really wasn't the Lord's solution to your problem. It was your own. And maybe afterward you felt like, well, I really didn't pray about that the way I should have. I got through it okay, but I don't feel much closer to the Lord because of it. And on our problems and struggles that we go through, our sorrows, our burdens, all of those anxious things which do trouble us, aren't they more important than to simply say, well, we can handle it like everybody else in the world? Remember, we have a relationship to Christ. And that relationship is supposed to be fostered, encouraged, and build us up, edify us in Christ. So much so that the first thing that we think of when we come to the Lord is, Lord, what do you want? Remember David, Lord, shall I go up against the Philistines? Shall I do this or that? And how David so earnestly sought after God in the answers to the things that he brought before him. Oh, not that David didn't have his problems. You know, we know he did. Everybody's got one, whether it's publicly known or otherwise. And of course, these people in the Bible, well, their big problems are all very public because they're there for us to learn by. But let us remember that David's heart was very much revealed, and it was a heart for God. And so, as we diligently seek after the Lord and seek His answers, the Lord will give us the wisdom that we desire of Him. Also in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." 1 John 3:22. Now, in this verse, the implication is, well, we receive because, not only because God is pleased to answer, but because we are doing His commandments. In other words, there is a sense of obedient trust in this relationship. There is a sense of obedience and trust. We are trusting in God. We're keeping His commandments. And not only so, but we delight to do those things. And it kind of indicates a very healthy, vibrant Christian relationship. A very healthy relationship in Jesus. It's not one that we're continually questioning our relationship with Christ. We know we are affirmed in our relationship to Christ. And as we come to Christ, He affirms that back to us. And so this affirmation is one which causes us to come not only earnestly, but diligently to Him. Have you ever prayed and then kind of questioned the fact whether or not the Lord is even going to do it? Well, I'd like to suggest to you, maybe you was defeated right at that moment. If we question the Lord upon the very things we bring to Him, I think that in some way kind of negates what we brought to Him. In other words, we ought to have the affirmation of faith when we come to Christ, when we come to God with our needs, even if the answer to it is not as we suspect. Not everything turns out the way we think it should. But I would like to say to you that if we are where we need to be, the very answer that the Lord gives will be the one that we're satisfied with. That we say in the end, "Yes, Lord, this was what I really needed in this matter. Not necessarily what I thought. But I knew, Lord, You was going to answer this, and I've come faithfully to You and diligently and earnestly about it, and You have answered as You said You would." And so it is that God is in the business of answering, and He wants us to come. 1 John 5:14-15, this verse, two verses says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him." Now see, here is the following through, isn't it? Confidence. Let us come with confidence. That we know that the Lord hears us. And because we come with such confidence in His very will, then we know that He will give us whatever it is that we truly desire of Him. We will change our opinion to God's opinion upon all occasions when we are in such a frame of mind. You see, we come many times because we don't know the answers, not because we do. And so we are waiting for God to affirm the answer to us that we might know it. And so let us not be disappointed at what He gives, but rather affirm, "Yes, Lord, with confidence I have come and You have answered. And so it is, Lord, that I trust in You." The third area, ask, seek, and knock earnestly, diligently, and persistently, all with perseverance. The third area is this: persevere and persist in knocking, for the Lord will not refuse you when you make your heart known to Him. Persevere and persist in knocking, for For the Lord will not refuse you when you make your heart known to Him. And in this one, we see the passage 9 to 11. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Let's just focus on the last part of that, that our Heavenly Father knows how to give good things to them that ask him. The illustration, of course, is meant to impress upon us what the Heavenly Father would do rather than. And the Heavenly Father is, of course, always doing good unto his people. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 and 13, it says this: Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Very much the same components that we have there in Matthew 7. Jeremiah says, call upon me, pray unto me, I will hearken to you, seek me, find me, and when you search for me with all your heart, God wants our hearts. God wants our hearts. He cannot have our hearts unless we are persistent and persevering in those things. Like I have said before, why bring a frivolous thing to the Lord that we don't expect that we are going to pray much more than one little thing? Say, oh Lord, by the way, and then that's the end of it, and we never pursue it anymore. Should we expect the Lord to answer? I think not. It may not have been of any consequence anyway, and we were just frivolous in our asking. But if we have sought out the Lord, if we have truly sought Him out in earnestness and diligence and in true persevering faith, because we have the greatest of confidence in Him, and we know that He is our Heavenly Father, and we realize that as our Heavenly Father, who is in heaven, He will give good things to them that ask Him. That's what the passage says. He will give good things to them that ask Him. What father would give a stone to a son when he is asking for bread? If he is a good father at all, would he give his son a rock instead of a loaf of bread when he is hungry? See? No. A father wouldn't do that. Not a good father. And, of course, this is setting up the model of a good father. What man would give a serpent when he is asked for a fish? Would you give a poisonous snake to somebody when they ask for a piece of fish? Something to eat to sustain them? See, you who know how to give good gifts, he says, and your good is evil compared to the good of God, the Heavenly Father. We have ulterior motives in our goodness many times. We are not so good in our goodness as we think we are. But we are as good as we are. Some perhaps better than others, but for the sake of our illustration, a good father should give a loaf of bread, a good man should give a fish and not a serpent. Because God the Heavenly Father is much better than we, then we must realize that as we come to our Heavenly Father, He also will give us good things. As we ask and seek and knock, as we diligently, earnestly, and persistently come to Him in prayer concerning those things which are of an intimate relationship to the Father in the Son, because we have this abiding presence in Christ, because His Word does abide in us, because His commandments are those things that we keep, because we do have that relationship with the Father that glorifies the Son, and with the Son that glorifies the Father, God means to answer the needs that we have. And so it is, we are to come and to bring our requests to the Lord. But to ask, to seek, and to knock. And yes, we do need these encouragements to prayer, because we are but dust. And our strength is not so good at times. And there are sorrows that overtake us, and anxiousness that besets us, and certain sins that would give a big problem to us. We did not bring them to the Lord because of our humanness and the fallenness of our nature. Yes, we have a Heavenly Father, and He wants to bless us with those things that should glorify Him and His Son. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank You for Your word to us and pray that You would bless Your word to us. Pray, Lord, the ministry of Your Holy Spirit to us. Lord, teach us these things. And Lord, even though we are aware of these things, may You also impress them upon us that we might be refreshed in them, that we might be revived in them, that when the cares of the world around us overtakes us, that we may be reminded that You are such a Heavenly Father that You delight to answer the prayers of Your children and the needs of Your children, that You will always give good gifts unto them, for they ask and seek and knock in faith. And we thank You, Father, for this earnest and diligent and persistent pursuit of the will of God in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.